Hello and welcome to Ear Buddies. I don't need to say it, you've already figured it out, but I will say it. Tim isn't here, just Maddie on the mic. And you know what, gang? We did this one not because we had conflicting schedules. We did this one on purpose. We, as podcasters, have access to charts, graphs, data points, data sets, all of that sort of stuff that is necessary to make it in this ever-changing industry of podcasting. And we looked at these numbers, crunched them up a little bit, and we noticed that our solo episodes are always very well received. And so we go where the money is. I spoke to Tim. I said, buddy, there's something coming up culturally that I think I, of all people, am uniquely equipped to handle. Not that I don't love and respect you, of course, and your opinions. Your opinions are as valid and as well thought through as mine. Of course, we all know this. But this event, this thing that's going to happen in our lives, seems like a Maddie problem. So I'm going to take this one, gang. No ad break. You know how it goes. I will say, there was some interest in, The House of Windsor, you're all familiar. I heard, I can't say too much, but I heard through some back channels that there was some interest in me publicly saying, and Ear Buddies publicly saying, that all is well and good over there with the monarchy, with the royal family. Kate is fine. William is fine. There's nothing fishy about Princess Diana's death, etc., etc. And I said, I don't know if I can do that, especially this week. Because this week, we are going to be talking about Ireland. And we all know, don't we, the British monarchy and Ireland, that's friction. That's oil and water. I'm not going to get involved. Normally we take all comers, but maybe at some point after things have settled down, I just thought that it wouldn't be a great idea to have the House of Windsor sponsor a podcast that is so heavily focused on the music and people of Ireland. Was the shillelagh under me arm and the twinkle in me eyes? Are they out to Tipperary in the morning? With the shillelagh under me arm and the Tooraloora line? Are they welcome in the home that I was born in? So let's get into it. Ireland. Man, everyone's thinking about it. Everyone's talking about it. It's been, think about these names. Cillian Murphy, Barry Keoghan, Paul Mescal, Io Adebiri. That's a joke for people on the internet. It's been a banner year for the Irish people. Not since 1916 have the Irish been so visible in the public eye. And not only that, but I'm thematically on point here as well, because yesterday, of course, was St. Patrick's Day. What a day. What a beautiful time for Americans to pretend for just a moment in time that we are Irish. We get to wear green, we get to drink alcohol, and we get to, I guess that's mostly it, isn't it, really? We get to pretend that we are part of what we have decided is a fun-loving party culture, and we get to drink. As I was riding over the far from Kerry Mountains, I met with Captain Farrell and his money he was counting. I first produced me pistol, and then I drew my sabre, saying, stand and deliver, for I am about the saber. What's your rigum doing da? What fall the daddy-o? What fall the daddy-o? There's whiskey in the jar. And that's all well and good for the most part. I mean, it's a little confusing because why does Ireland get that? And like, for example, I don't know, we're not celebrating Bastille Day like that. Whatever, not the point. The point is this, maybe. We'll see where this goes. I want to figure out why Americans love the Irish, and more by extension here, Irish music in such a publicly sanctioned way. It's interesting, and I'm sure that all of you in the army, you scholars and you, not even real musicians, but just students of culture, you have probably looked around, maybe even yesterday, and thought, this is a little bit interesting. It's a little bit weird that we are doing this. It's a little bit weird that we're celebrating and embracing and cosplaying as just a different imaginary, really, culture. It's not bad, but it's interesting. And when I look at that, I think, Maddie, you got to figure this out. What is it about this identity that we are drawn to enough to dye the Chicago River green every year and have parades in the street? I'm interested in this topic because I've always been interested in this topic. I've been on record as saying that my family is Irish, and I want to start, actually, by kind of interrogating that. There's a great headline article from The Onion from years ago. It's like, man who's 1/16th Irish, proud of his national heritage. That's a good joke. It's a good article. Because it really does seem as if people cling to whatever Irish heritage they feel they have. Because I say my family's Irish, and they are. We're more Irish than anything else, but like we're a lot English too, and Scottish and French. That's my history. Why didn't I decide to identify with my French ancestry? It feels a little bit not fake, but it feels pretend again, right? Like a lot of Irish Americans are a lot more American, or maybe even something else, than Irish. But I feel like, from what I've seen over the past however many years I've been alive, that people want to cling to the Irish part. And I know that's not always true, but what I want to try and do is develop what I'm going to call an emotional theory. And I don't mean emotional in the sense that I am getting emotional over this. I'm calm, I'm collected, I will not lose my head here. But in the sense that while what I'm going to discuss is backed up by historical fact and logic and reason, etc., I don't know if people think this, but I kind of do think this, and I wanted to share it with you to, I guess, see what you think. I might be wrong, or I might be, as usual, a little bit wrong. I actually have an answer as to why I decided to identify with my Irish roots. And that answer is, you guessed it, the tunes. I'll offer a little personal history here. I know the Army loves when I talk about my childhood, so just a bit, so you know where I'm coming from here. I grew up listening to Irish music, because that's what my parents had on some cassettes. And of course, they are both Irish. Irish enough, I guess, to also identify with it and to enjoy the music. So that's what we would listen to, and especially on St. Patrick's Day, we'd have a big family party, and it would just be Irish music blasting through the house. I loved it because I loved the music. I was playing the violin at the time. I was a young little boy playing the violin, and I was learning through, you know, classical methods, classical training, as they call it. I was in student orchestras and learning how to read music and playing Bach and Beethoven and stuff that I hated, to be quite honest with you. But I heard these fiddles coming through my parents' cassette player, and I thought, that is it. That's what I want. So I started taking violin lessons, fiddle lessons, really, with another violin teacher who just taught me how to play Irish music. I had a green folder for Ireland, and it was chock full of jigs and reels and airs and all kinds of standards, and I just devoured that. I thought that was the coolest thing that existed at the time, and that has stuck with me. I mean, it's informed a lot of what I've even done. I joined and started Irish bands. I learned how to play other Irish instruments. It's been sort of a lifelong love affair with this kind of music. And because I'm a real musician and a scholar, I learned about Ireland and Irish history and Irish people, and that sort of opened that door for me. So I like to believe that I come by my Irish associations and interest in Irish culture more or less honestly. I think that's going through the tunes and kind of going from there makes sense to me. And of course, I begin to think here, is that part of everyone else's deal? Is it like actually the tunes? Because I can't fully wrap my head around why standard white mixed breed Americans are into it, are into St. Patrick's Day and well, I get that. I mean, we all like to party. But why the love for Irish stuff? Could it indeed have something to do with the tunes? I don't know. But I think, I mean, this is essentially my theory, which is, I think a little bit. I don't know how familiar the Army is with Irish history. So I'm going to just give a little bit here because it will offer important context for support for my theory. A very important thing to know, even though we forget, is that the Irish have not always been white. There's a book that I wish I had written, but I did not. Noel Ignatiev wrote it. It's called How the Irish Became White. And his theory is that the Irish, having been an oppressed people and being second-class citizens or lower than second-class citizens, they came to America, settled, of course, in Boston and New York, the East Coast, and by deciding to work with their oppressors and become the oppressor themselves, largely through like becoming cops, Irish cops, right? They were then subjugating African Americans and then accepted as white people by the other white people. And I think this is largely true. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, but hard as it may be to believe now, people used to hate the Irish. Americans used to hate the Irish. There were signs on businesses that said no Irish need apply. There were drawings of like their skull shape saying that they were closely related to monkeys. There was all kinds of just like racist stuff and discourse against the Irish. There's a name for it, hibernophobia. That's what you're a hibernophobe if you hate the Irish. But nobody hates the Irish now. at least not in America. And I think, well, now I want to talk about the tunes. Let's think about what we know about Irish music. And I'm sure I'll tell you more. But it's generally, it's lively. It's sometimes mournful if it's a slow one. It's folk music, of course. It has a fiddle often, a tin whistle, sometimes some pipes, a bowron, that's the drum, a bouzouki sometimes, guitar, mandolin sometimes. It is a collection of instruments that are just very evocative, and evocative of Ireland. And we've come to make that association because, I guess, St. Patrick's Day. But I want to think about the history of that music a little bit. I think it's fair to say that we, as a culture, generally associate the Irish diaspora with Boston, New York, Chicago a little bit. And that's all true, and that's all fair. But I won't speak for the army here, I often forget that the American South and Appalachia are, I mean, that place is crawling with Irish immigrants and people with Irish ancestry. A lot of Irish people ended up living in the South and in the mountains, which, fun fact, someone else looked this up for me because I don't have it on hand, but the Appalachian range is like from Ireland, like back when the shift, the tectonic plates, I don't know, I'm not a science guy, but like those are part of those, that mountain range in Ireland. Crazy. So they felt right at home. And they showed up with, to really reduce this into, I guess, a podcast episode, they showed up with the fiddle, the violin. That was a pretty European classical instrument, but it had been used in folk music in Ireland specifically, and perhaps mostly, for a very long time. And these immigrants come over, and they settle in the mountains and in the south, and they bring those fiddles with them. So think about where today you are most likely to hear a fiddle. Like, what genre of music? Easy answer. Obviously Irish music. We've already been talking about that. But also bluegrass and country. Those are like kind of the only two. There's fiddles and other stuff, but like it's a central part of definitely bluegrass and used to be a central part of country. Where did bluegrass and country come from? You already know this. We've already talked about it in other episodes. Bluegrass and country come from Appalachia and the American South. And of course, it wasn't just the fiddle, right? There are a lot of elements of Celtic folk music that formed the foundations of bluegrass and country and a lot of like American folk music. The Irish came over with their musical traditions, met up with the enslaved Africans and the descendants of enslaved Africans. And remember, the Africans had, well, not only their own folk music traditions, but they brought over the banjo. You have a banjo and a fiddle, that's bluegrass, that's country. That was the foundation for so much of American music. And to me, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, not that it needs to, it happened regardless, but it makes sense because Irish music is just delightful. It's catchy, It's danceable. It is kind of just what the doctor ordered at that point in time. And mixing it with the African traditions made something really special. And I feel like, I mean, this is very much a part of my theory, but with the Irish being able to so fully incorporate their music into the fabric of America, I think that that helped them. I don't think that was the deciding factor by any means, because, you know, the African, their music did not really help them integrate in any real way for a very long time. But you think about the Irish, and it was just like, it was beautiful, non-threatening, exotic, but not too exotic, if that makes sense. Like, they were well on their way to becoming white and becoming treated as citizens regardless. But culturally, culture wars-wise, the music must have helped, right? I think I sometimes imagine trying to do that with other music, like Arabic music, for example. That is exotic in a way that we don't get. That's microtonal. That's instruments that we don't even have. It's a little bit, at least culturally, it's a little bit like intimidating or confusing. But the Irish, they were playing in normal Western modes and scales, and it was just like a key into a lock when they came over. They were ready to go and started making this new kind of very American music with the roots of what they had already developed. So fast forward a couple hundred years, and now we're here, and we have country, we have bluegrass, and we still have the distinct, authentic, sort of unfiltered Irish music. That Irish music is fascinating to me, because I think that what part of what made it so palatable to the people in the South and the mountains all those years ago is still working its magic, if I can say that word, on us today. So here's the most emotional or unresearched or crackpot part of my theory. I think that because of the ease of listening to Irish music, that has helped us, maybe not caused us, but helped us to not take them, the Irish people or the Irish culture or Irish music, that seriously. The music is, it's for dancing and it's for drinking, right? And I'm going to go off on a little tangent. Well, I guess, no, you know what? This is related. This is part of not taking Irish culture seriously. I mentioned that it used to be horrible for the Irish and no Irish need apply, and people drew mean cartoons about them getting drunk. And you go to any Irish pub in America and there are like these plaques on the wall that have sayings about the Irish all being alcoholics. God invented whiskey to keep the Irish from ruling the world. An Irishman is never drunk as long as he can hold onto one blade of grass to keep from falling off the earth. So what's that about? And like, I don't care. And I don't think that Irish people or Irish Americans care. I don't think they need reparations, because again,
they have successfully become white. They are successful citizens, and now we all love them. But we get to make these jokes that in another context would be like really racist, and yet we get to enjoy their music in a couple contexts, right? We get to enjoy it through country and bluegrass and folk music because a lot of it came from there, and we get to enjoy it, I suppose, at an Irish pub or on St. Patrick's Day because it's exotic and sort of romanticized, but in a way that is very comfortable for us. It's easy to listen to, and it's fun, and it's got that flair that's, you know, that tin whistle or those Illan pipes, and that does something to us. But it's not challenging. It doesn't challenge us. It is just nice to have a Guinness too. All that being said, my point comes down to, I guess, as usual, let's try to take this kind of music and this kind of culture more seriously. Irish music is little more than party music for us because that's the only context that we ever really engage with it in, right? And I might as well say that the romantic ideas that we have of like Irish people should also be reassessed. We've romanticized the entire Irish experience in a way that really minimizes it, and it works really well for us, for Americans. Lindsay Lohan has a new movie called Irish Wish. I haven't seen it. I probably will. And it's going to be magical, green stuff. And she has red hair, so it'll work. But that's basically as seriously as we ever take it. People aren't talking about Bobby Sands and James Connolly and the Irish rebel songs, and the Black and Tans. There's a whole history there, and the music is a large part of it. So I guess my request is that Irish music would be taken more seriously again. Like, I think it needs to be thoughtfully considered and not just as a background sort of soundtrack and not just once a year. I'm not saying that you need to like get into it in a serious way. Your mileage may vary. Maybe that's not your cup of tea, but there is so much context historically and culturally and otherwise in every different kind of music. There are people behind it, there are cultures behind it, and the fact that we have gotten to the point now where it is meaningless, and I think that's fair to say, like it's pretty meaningless music for St. Patrick's Day revelers. It's just, that's frustrating because there's so much depth there. And as I've just been discussing, so much like American history wrapped up in Irish music. So, guys, I just wanted to kind of have that chat with you and get that off my chest because it's been a long time of me thinking about Irish music and being a little bit concerned and or annoyed looking around and seeing how it's treated. I don't have any fear at all that the army will... you guys have never been the problem. It's not you, okay? It's really not. These are just things that I think if we can think about together and maybe take just little personal actions on, we will make the world a better place. And that's always been what this podcast has been about. So I wish you all a happy post-St. Patrick's Day week, and I will talk to you next week with my good friend and yours, Tim, back on the mic. Talk to you later.
Join me.